Shalom Aleichem. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Nun Beis, Baba Basra 52a, pagination is 103. We'll start on the facing page, four lines up, just after the Tanu Rabbanan by the two dots, we learned. E mekablim pikdonos, you're not allowed to accept something entrusted to you, min hanoshim, from a married lady. On the next line, kibel min ha'isha, if you did receive something from a married lady, yachzer le'isha, you should return it to the woman now that you accepted it from her, you should give it back to her. Ve'imesa, if she dies in the interim, yachzer le'baila, you return it to her husband, because if it was hers, he inherits, and being that we don't know any other information, that's what you should do. Now, what is the concern here, and what's the sophistication here? So the concern here is, primarily, that the woman is taking something from the husband and entrusting it to somebody to get it out of the scene of crime, so to speak, so that it shouldn't be noticed, so that it should disappear. And the initial ruling here is that you're not allowed to accept it, because then you are an accomplice to the crime. Whether the word crime is an overstatement or not, but essentially you're assisting in making the money disappear. The Pesachei Choshen in Perik Ches of Ishus points out that this would be true even if it's not the husband's money per se, but it's Nichse Malug, it's the wife's assets, but she's trying to make them disappear so that the husband can't use them, which is also a violation of the marriage relationship, because during the marriage he is supposed to be able to use the assets for the point of producing profits. The fundamental principle remains hers, and he's going to have to repay that if he dies first from the estate, if he divorces her personally to repay it. But we understand who owns what, but if she's making that money disappear and he's entitled to the produce from that money, then that also is interfering, and you wouldn't be allowed to accept that money from her. We just had that in the previous session, where we had a husband who might have been trying ligiluye zuzehu deboi, to trying to get her to reveal the assets that she has, which she's allowed to benefit from during the marriage. So that's one aspect that we're concerned of, that she's trying to unload money that's either hers or that she got from the husband improperly. The other possibility here is that someone trusted the woman with this money or item, and she's in turn entrusting it to somebody else, in which case the money really is not supposed to be returned to her per se. It's really that she's an agent on behalf of somebody else, but we don't know who that somebody else is. And therefore, lacking any other information, we're going to return it to her. And if she's deceased, we'll return it to the husband, with the assumption that the husband inherits the wife's assets. And certainly, if it was an item of the husband's, then you're putting it into the proper hands. Okay. Let's move on to today's daf on the second line. V'kulan, and such cases, sha'amru b'sha'as misasan, if the person said at the time of their passing, they're very sick, and they say, shalpolonien, it belongs to so-and-so. Ya'asa kipirushan, you should do like they say. V'imlav, but if you don't trust them, ya'asa pirush l'pirushan, then you should do what seems to you to be appropriate. What's going on over here is that if the person who entrusted it to you was well, then we wouldn't want to interfere and we would simply return it to them. Let's be specific. If a woman entrusts the item to you, so originally you weren't supposed to accept it, but if you did accept it, so then we return it to her. And she's capable of doing whatever she holds is correct to do with it. At the time of severe illness, though, she's not capable of carrying through on this. So she's verbalizing what she wants you to do with the money. She no longer has a migu. She no longer has, I could have taken it back for myself. So if I tell you who it is, you should believe me who it belongs to. She no longer has that migu because she's incapacitated. But she does have a degree of trust with you, and you're the one holding it. So you should do, if you trust her, what she's telling you to do with it. If you don't trust what she's saying, and you think something's up, either she doesn't want to return it to the husband because she's embarrassed about finally returning it, and it's going to give her a bad reputation, people will say she's a thief, which is an interesting concept, because often on the deathbed, people are finally doing tshuva, and they want to set things right. But in any case, if you have doubts, or you're thinking that she's telling you to give it to somebody else because she thinks it's like a shchiv meira, she's handing it off to whoever she wants, but she's really taking it away from the rightful owner. If you have doubts, then you're allowed not to listen to what she's saying, because we're lacking any proof over here, and she no longer has her migu. The Gemara proceeds with a story, which will hopefully make this clearer. Devisu de Rabba Bar Bar Chana, the wife of Rabba Bar Bar Chana, great Talmudic sage, kikashachva, while she was dying, Amra, she said, Hani kipi, those particular rings, de Marsa uvene brato, belong to a person, Marta, and his family. Rabba Bar Bar Chana wants to know what he's supposed to do now. Also, lekamei de Rav, they came in front of Rav, Amar le, and Rav said, Imehem naloch, if it's believable what she's saying, if you believe her, asay ki pirusha, so do what she says. Ve'imlo, ve'ilo, and if you don't trust her, you don't believe her implicitly, to just do what she says, asay pirush le pirusha, then you should do with it what you believe is correct to be done with it, according to you, who you think is the real owner. Indeed, in Shulchan Aruch Simen Pei Vav of Evan HaEzer, we find, Ein mekablen pikadon me'eshes ish, not allowed to take a item from a married woman, v'im kibel, and if you did already, yachzeh le'isha, you return it to her. Once it's done, you trust her that it's hers. Vim amra shapoloniyem ne'emenes, and during her lifetime, regular lifetime, if she says it belongs to somebody, you give it to that person as she says. Vim amra b'shas misasa, but if she said it at the time of her passing, so she no longer has her migu, she's in a vulnerable position, so what is it that's giving her the trust? Shapoloniyem, she's saying it belongs to a certain person. Im ne'emenes lo, if you believe her, yaseh kidvareh, you should do what she says. Ve'im lav, and if you don't believe her, so then you have to do as is appropriate according to the analysis. Interestingly, the Gemara continues and says, Ve'ika de'amri, there are those who say, Hachi omar lei, this was the way it was phrased. I'amidalach, if the assessment seems accurate, circumstantial evidence indicates that it is logical for these rings to belong to that person. Like, perhaps he's the kind of person who owns such rings. Asei ki pirusha, then you should do v'imlo, asei pirush l'pirusha, and if not, then you should do as you see appropriate. We do not paskin like this second approach. The Gaon says we're paskining like the first approach, which has to do with trust, rather than whether it's plausible. And we indeed encountered such a concept previously on Daf Mem Hey, based on Choshen Mishpat Reish Tzadi Zayin Aleph, that we don't really go with plausibility because a person could have unlikely assets based on an inheritance or based on a metzia that he found something that he was entitled to keep because it was sitting there for many years or something unattended to, and the people gave up. There might be cases where a person does own things that are unlikely for him to own according to his social stature. So we don't really go with Amid as a primary reasoning, but rather the Imehemna is what we would go with. Do you trust her that what she's saying under these circumstances is indeed accurate? It would be curious to know whether part of your assessment of her being believed could be how plausible it is that this person owns such rings, or do we totally disregard plausibility? It's just not a factor, and either she's believed or she's not believed to you. There is another dimension which is extremely practical. We're saying over here that the woman might be unloading assets that belong to the husband, and therefore you're not allowed to initially take such things. The same is true, the Pesachei Choshen points out, regarding gifts that the woman gives. If they're small gifts that are in accordance with the norms of such a marriage, where she comes to a simcha and she's giving a gift that's a small gift that's considered social norms, so then that's one thing, and typically we accept such a thing. But if she's giving something that's out of the ordinary, she's writing out $500 checks, so then one has to wonder where that's coming from, and if indeed that's acceptable without consulting the husband and finding out if such activity was authorized and proper. Also, a curiosity in our time would be if the husband is unloading property that the woman came into the marriage with, what kind of leverage might there be or need to investigate if what he's doing is proper. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.